Praise the Lord again, church. If you could just stand. It is so great to have Brother and Sister Putnam here. Brother Putnam is a retired district superintendent now. We still call him Bishop. And it has been just such a, he has been such a, just such a powerful force in our district for the last 20 years. And it's just so great to, I remember when I walked into the board meeting, the boardroom for the first time, and I was elected presbyter of Section 3, and I walked into that board meeting, and I saw him sitting in there, and I felt very, very small to be in such a presence of such a great man and such a great board, and he has been such a voice in my life, and I appreciate him so very much. Love you dearly, brother. Come preach this morning, brother.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Anybody about happy about living for God? Amen. What an opportunity that we have going into a new, brand new year. Some people say, well, it's just another day. Well, a lot can happen in a day. Amen. But I'm very, very thankful today. At my age, I'm thankful to be any place. And this last year, I'm very, very thankful that my wife is here with me today. Amen, Sister Putnam. And I know Roy probably has had you pray for her. Excuse me, Pastor Roy has had you pray for her. But about 10 weeks ago, they diagnosed that she had lymphomic cancer in her abdomen. And on the way home from that appointment, I looked at her and I said, "You do not have cancer." And she didn't believe she had cancer. So they sent us to an oncologist, and they had her go through some tests. And sure enough, these lymph nodes were enlarged. And the oncologist, he said, "Well, it's my best prognosis here that you have lymphoma B cancer." But he said, "I want to do a biopsy." And so on the November 25th, we were preaching up in Green Bay, and in that service that night, God really moved, or we moved towards Him, I should say, and God really touched my wife. That next morning, she said, "Honey, I haven't felt this good in months." And so that Friday, she had a biopsy done. And the next Friday, that oncologist looked at us and said, "Well, you don't have cancer, and I'm very perplexed." I'm very perplexed. I thank God when God perplexes the doctors. Amen. Praise God. Jamin, seems like I just saw you yesterday, the day before. We are so happy to be here. I tell you, I thank God for Pastor Roy and Lois Grant, and I thank God, of course, for Bishop Grant and Sister Darlene and the whole staff and all the ministers. Calvary has always been an anchored church in this district, and it will continue to be so. Why don't we just make a covenant with God this year that says, "God, I want to be my best. I want to do my best. And I just want to be open, dear Lord God, for you to use me the best that you've ever had." How about it, church? Amen. Praise God. It's very good to see Brother and Sister Caskey here. Amen. We've worked shoulder to shoulder for a while. And of course, Brother Grant also being the presbyter of this section now. Amen. And so I better behave myself. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to two scriptures in the prophet Isaiah. Amen. One is found in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. The other one is found in the 59th chapter. The 40th chapter of Isaiah and also chapter 59. Verse 31 of Isaiah 40, very familiar to many of us. But it says this. Why don't you read it with me? Read it out loud. Read it with gusto. Okay? Let's read together. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Did you notice there it says, but my people that wait upon me, he just says they. That's everybody. That doesn't matter if you're a churchgoer or not. But they that wait upon him shall renew their strength. In the 59th chapter of Isaiah, verse 19, I'm actually going to start the verse where it says, When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And my friend, I have to believe that that still means today, because we are still in forever. What I want to say today, church, it pays to be committed. It pays, amen, to be consecrated. It pays, amen, to live for God all the days of your life. Can somebody say amen? You're hearing this morning, I want to speak to you today about the rescued. The rescued. Has anybody been rescued in here? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your goodness today. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for your Spirit. And I pray, God, that you would walk down these aisles and in and out of these pews and across this platform. And I pray that you'd stop at this preaching desk. I pray for your anointing, God, and I pray that you'd fill my lips and my thoughts, dear Lord God, with your thoughts and your words. And God, when it's all said and done today, God, that all of us, Jesus, will recognize what a tremendous rescuer we have. And I ask, God, that you would be glorified in everything today. And everybody said in Jesus' name. Everybody said in Jesus' name. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord? Amen. Thank him for his love and goodness. Jesus, we thank you, God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I believe if we're going to talk about the rescued, we all have to understand for there to be a rescue, there needs to be a rescuer. They must have someone or something to rescue. Webster defines the word rescued as to free from confinement, danger, or evil. Now, you may remember this past summer, amen, in the month of July, the world's eyes were seriously focused upon and had really great concern for a young Thailand soccer team. Anybody remember that report? The team had just finished a routine soccer practice, and as an initiation in starting a new soccer season, after their practice, the coach led the young team in a hike exploring inside a local cave. They meandered some 2.5 miles inside the walls of that cavern. And they literally ventured downward over 1.5 mile into the bowels of the earth. And all the same time that they were exploring the cave, a monsoon rain had started to fall on the outside of the cavern. Suddenly, the cave that they had hiked through became flooded with water, and the passages were now impassable. Without any notice to the young team, they found themselves trapped. Is there anyone here that has ever felt like you were trapped? Huh? That very word brings up imaginations of being inhibited, being bound, completely unable to freely move about. As a matter of fact, one of the dictionary definitions of trapped is an unpleasant situation from which it is hard to escape. The world was asking the question, why did that 25-year-old coach direct those boys into that cave? Well, brothers and sisters, how many times have you and I got ourselves into peculiar predicaments by being curious? Hello. There's an old non-biblical proverb that states, curiosity killed, what was that? Curiosity killed the cat. And that proverb has been used to warn of the dangers of unnecessary investigation or experimentation. Now, church, I can remind all of us this morning that curiosity in many facets can kill us. Hello? It can literally bring forth destruction to our well-being, both physically and spiritually. The dictionary, again, defines curiosity as a strong desire to know or learn something. Well, there's some things I want to learn, but there's other things that I best not learn. Can I get a witness here? So in light of these boys being trapped, I believe the Lord would have me bring a message to you this morning about waiting on a rescuer and then being rescued. You know, in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, we all know, at least I believe we would, about King Saul. King Saul was truly sensing exactly what these boys were experiencing, but in a different fashion. Saul felt trapped. He felt insecure, not knowing what to do. Have you ever felt insecure? Have you ever felt like you didn't know what you should do? Because, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures. Brother, you might want to put those scriptures up there, 1 Samuel 13, 5 through 8. But there was 36,000 Philistines that were gathering in chariots and footmen and soldiers that were coming against Israel. The Bible says in verse 6, and when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and high places and pits. And Saul himself, he really did not know what to do because his army was being scattered from him, and he literally just felt he was trapped. Now, evidently 7 days prior to this, the prophet Samuel had told Saul that he would meet with him on the seventh day. Everybody say the seventh day. In other words, in 7 days, he would come to Saul. Now, the seventh day came, and Samuel was not there. And King Saul felt trapped. because of these Philistine armies coming against him. The soldiers of Israel had fled. And Saul felt he had to do something. Church, when we feel like we've got to do something, we better make sure that we are in tune with God before we do what we think we want to do. Hello? For Saul said, "Bring me hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." I mean, he's going to do something religious, Pastor. But it wasn't his position to do that. So consequently, he knew that he needed God's help. And in his fearfulness, he felt that he had been abandoned by Samuel. So feeling trapped, Saul, like many of us have, panicked. And he proceeded to do what was not lawful for him to do. Saul was not a priest. He was a king. He took matters into his own hands. I won't ask for the hands that have done that before. So he sacrificed a burnt offering. And as soon as he did that, guess who shows up? Samuel. Because you see, folks, the seventh day came, but the seventh day was not over. Hello? Samuel was the would-be rescuer. He showed up just as he said, and the very first things he now says to Saul is, "What have you done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you had not come within the appointed days," he said, "I needed to sacrifice unto God." You see, church, because of Saul's lack of patience, everybody say patience, because of his lack of faith, because of his unwillingness to wait, it literally cost him his throne and ultimately his life. Please understand, church, Saul's faith had a self-made time limit. But I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to give him until. Folks, I want you to understand something. God doesn't work by his time limits. God works in his time. But one thing I do know, church, is that God is always on time. He is never too early, and he's never too late, but he's always on time. Amen. Church, I've come to tell someone here today, amen, on this Sunday morning, that if you're facing a situation, don't allow yourself to be trapped by the enemy in your mind and in your thinking. I'm saying, wait upon the Lord, and he shall renew your strength. You know, I am sure that that coach and those young players of that Thailand team never had in their wildest dreams thought that as they walked into those caves that they would not be able to walk back out. Huh? I am sure that they felt like that, much like Saul. I'm positive that that young team did not plan on being trapped. But let's be honest with ourselves this morning. How many of us out of our own curiosities in our life, throughout our own lives, at one time ventured, amen, to take risks like that first drink of alcohol or that first drag of weed or that first hit of an illicit drug. Perhaps it was that first look at pornography, or was it that first wink of a flirting eye, or was it that ingested bit of bitterness, or that first decision of unwillingness to forgive someone, or was it that first attitude of arrogance that led to a blinding pride in your life? Listen to me, church. No one ever purposely plans to get trapped by any sin or vice. But we did, didn't we? Apostle Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Church, let me tell you, sin will always cost us more than we plan to pay. It will always take us farther than we plan to go. It will always keep us longer than we plan to stay. The truth is, you and I knew that we were trapped in our sin. Can I get a witness? We were bound. And if we will be completely honest this morning, we never thought that there would ever be a way out. We tried our best to disguise and to hide our sinfulness. But because everyone else was in the same condition, we excused ourselves and we justified our trapped situations. I want you to know this morning that soccer coach could have made a very grave mistake in trying to lead those boys back out of that cave, trying to go through that water, not knowing what to expect. He could have led all 12 of them to their deaths, but he didn't. He simply had them wait. I don't know, and I don't think I need to state to you about how hard it is for us human beings, no matter where we come from, to have patience to wait. Have you ever been slow about starting when the light turned red to green? Hello? Now, certainly you weren't the person that was behind you ever. But you know, you and I have been socially engineered for obtaining instant results, instant gratifications. We want what we want, and we want it now. Can I get a witness? I mean, what is wrong with this garage door opener? You see, having a lack of patience is simply a human curse, which has led many to their own physical and spiritual destruction. Even our Lord Jesus said, "In your patience possess ye your soul." You know, those boys waited. They waited 10 long days. You have to understand, they were perched up on a rounded rock. It had a plateau on it. All 12 of them, plus the coach. And everything around them was dark. I don't know if they had a flashlight. I assume they brought flashlights in, but maybe not. I don't know. They were in the dark. They were surrounded by water. They were perched on a rock. They had no food. They literally had no water. They literally licked the moisture that dripped from the rock walls. But after their long wait of 10 days, all of a sudden, they saw a light coming underneath the water. They saw the light. And when that person came to the surface dressed, amen, in scuba diving gear and oxygen tanks on their back, then all of a sudden those boys and that coach recognized, amen, faith came to them, hope came to them, amen. I hope you're getting the analogy here today, amen, because there was a day when you and I were walking in darkness and we didn't know which way to turn, but all of a sudden somebody showed us the light, and it brought hope, and it brought life, and it brought the power of God to our lives. Amen. They knew that they could be rescued. But you know what? They just didn't say, "Now follow me, boys." No. Because they were professionals and they recognized they had just came over 2.5 miles underwater. And so they had to come up with a plan. You know, some of us wonder, why did God take, amen, thousands of years to perpetuate his plan? Why? Because he had to prepare the hearts and the minds of people through law, amen, and through his law, and through his law. But it came to a place where then he was the light. We just celebrated light being born in a manger, and he came to give his life for us. Huh? So they had to wait. To wait. You realize some of those boys didn't even know how to swim? They could play soccer, but they couldn't swim. So now, they spend time and putting on scuba diving gear, letting them use and practice breathing oxygen. Huh? But then the day came, and there came a day for every one of us where we finally decided we needed to make a first step. We needed to make a first step, amen, in first step of faith. And sure enough, they didn't do it one by one, by a whole group. They did it by one. And I want you to know, yes, God may fill thousands in one service, but I guarantee you it was still one by one, because this is not a wholesale religion, folks. Amen. This is an individual experience, amen, with God. Brother Peter, come down here. Don't you think we ought to save him today? Huh? Brother Thompson, are you in here? Oh, he's teaching. Oh, she'll help. Jamin, come down here. You're in the Marine Corps. You're tough. You know, we thank God for his service to our country, huh? Grab his other arm. We're going to save you, Peter. Huh? Amen. Now, you know what? If I read the statistics correct about those boys, they weren't fighting the issue. All they focused on was being rescued. Hello? And you know what? As we go, amen, I want you to know something. As you start walking for God, amen, as you start walking for the Lord, I'm telling you, your pastor up there, myself, ministers of the gospel, amen, they're not out to tell you what to do and how to do it. They want to instruct you because they want to get your hide to heaven. That's the only purpose. It's not about some egomania, amen, boss. Oh, no, my friend. We want to show the way unto righteousness, unto holiness, amen, because we want to get out of this thing, amen, out of this earth, and spend our life in glory. Somebody say amen. Amen. OK. Because you know what the Bible says? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If that's your plea today, stand to your feet, lift up your hands, and thank God, amen, for his help in your life. Hallelujah. You may be seated. That's why we have preparation. That's why we do things been called Bible studies. Why? To help prepare people. To help them understand what they might be facing and how they face it. That's why we have Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday services, amen, and many other types of teaching and instruction. Why? Because as far as I know yet, we are not out of this situation yet. Hello? We sang today, I'm cleansed, and by the grace of God, I am cleansed. But you know what? Amen. I recognize we're still living in an entrapment situation, and we've got to be careful. That's why we need to keep our eyes on the goal, and it isn't halfway. It isn't partway. It's all the way for Jesus. Amen. Come here, Brother Ben. Come here, Brother Jerry. I want you to save me. You got me? Are you sure? You see, we got to have a good hold on this thing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll make sure that you have everything that you have need of, amen, to get out of this thing called this world. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It was amazing to me. They told those boys that there'd be some real risks in this thing. Mind you, it's 2.5 miles. It's underwater. Can you believe that? They not only had to make the first step of faith, but they had to go under the water. Hello. Because they're going to get out of here. I think when I made my first step, I had to go under the water in the power of the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. Praise God. They told them that the risks that were involved. And then one of the rescuers to make sure that they would be able to make the whole journey, the 2.5 miles, amen, a professional. But you know what? He literally drowned in trying to put spare oxygen tanks along the way that they might have oxygen all the way. I'm telling you, church, amen, there's some sacrifice in this thing. Our Lord sacrificed His life that you and I might have His blood upon our lives, and that we might receive the baptism of the heavenly oxygen of the Holy Ghost. You ever feel yourself sometimes in life, everything's going great, everything's glory to God, hallelujah and amen, and then all of a sudden something happens. Hello? I guarantee you, the longer you serve God, you'll recognize when those things happen, whether they are small or large, you'll recognize there's either a reason for it happening or that indeed God has got something that he's trying to teach us in what's going on. Am I telling you the truth here? Because you see, all of us are going to experience trials and tests. All of us are going to have problems and situations. But all of us, if we maintain and allow those angels of goodness and mercy to keep leading us, my friend, we're going to make it out of this thing. But not one of those boys, when they told him about the risks, said, "Nope, I'm not going. Not me. I'll just stay here in this rock." But how many people have we witnessed to that chose to remain entrapped rather than to be rescued? Church, as God takes us from trial to trial, it's always through victory to victory. And along life's way, you'll be in a service possibly just like this one, and all of a sudden, God moves afresh on you, and you begin again to get that heavenly oxygen, amen, engenerized into your spirit, into your life, and you're ready now to go the next segment of the race. And you may not understand the whys, but God didn't say for us to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge him, to acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he shall direct our pathway. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Musicians, come. I don't know about you, but this guy was trapped. I didn't know of any way out until I saw the light and I got into the water. And I've been walking for these last going on 48 years this next month. And you know what? By God's grace, because you see, church, they took them out one at a time. They had their angels around them to help them. They even had to sedate some of them. Why? So that they didn't panic. Do you realize sometimes the Lord sedates you in his spirit, and you just don't feel all of the brunt of the situation that the enemy that may come in like a flood? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard, an understanding. And when that first young man came out, oh, they tried to shroud them from press, but there were some pictures. Smiles were on their faces. Do you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? The smile that was on your face. I hope to God that smile is still on your face. Because one by one, they were happy. They were overjoyed to be rescued. You know, if you look around this auditorium, you're going to see people after years of living for God. Sister Manley, keep it up. Hallelujah. Why? Because she understands to whom much is given, much is required. And as much as I've been rescued, I also, Brother Grant, want to be a rescuer. I want to share with somebody else. I want to help somebody else out of their trap. You look around and you see people. They're still clapping. They're still worshiping. Why? Because they remember what it was to be in the darkness, to have been trapped. I don't know about you, but He brought me out. He brought me out. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put joy in my spirit. Amen. And you know what? For those of us that have been rescued by Jesus Christ, you know, we should never get over our shout of victory and our shout, amen, of living for God. I still want to shout in my spirit. I still want to lift up a loud voice to my God and say, Lord, I love you. I thank you. Hallelujah. So church, why don't we make a renewed commitment as we go into 2019, thanking God to be rescued, but at the same time, God, this year, everybody say this coming year, 2019, God, would you use me? Would you use me? To use me, God, to be a rescuer. Sister Putnam and Oliver's situation. The physician's assistant, prior, they'd already told her she had cancer. She hadn't had the biopsy yet. We were in the office there with her. She was telling Joanne about all the things that really she needs work on. At the end of our appointment, before we walked out the door, she looked at us and she said, and what I'm about to say, I give all glory to God. She said, I have never seen a couple that has as much faith as you two do. Because when they told us that she had cancer, we didn't just start bawling. We didn't start crying. Matter of fact, I said to her, I said, well, last statistic I know of, 10 out of 10 people die. And they usually die from something. But this just tells us how better and how we need to pray. And she said, I've not seen such faith. And she said, I'm expecting a baby. And the doctors are telling me that my baby has a congenital heart defect. She said, would you pray for my baby? I said, Jessica, do you mind if I lay my hand on your head? She said, yeah, that'd be fine. I said, so we prayed. And in my prayer, I said, God, perhaps all of this has happened in Joanne just for this child. Amen. That this child might be healed. That this child might be made whole. Amen. And when we got done praying, I said, Jessica, did you feel anything? She said, I didn't. But she said, I felt the baby leap within me. Fast forward. We get the news, cancer free. We go into a follow-up appointment. She doesn't even know that news yet. And she walks in all smiles. This is a month later, and she says, I have to thank you. Everything's going to be okay with my baby. need a rescuer in the house. So I ask you, Calvary, you need the Holy Ghost. You're still trying to get out of this trapment. You need to get into the water and get baptized in Jesus' name. You need to take that first step out of your darkness. I tell you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of your deliverance. Today is the day of your beginning walk with God. Amen. If you need the Holy Ghost, why don't you come right here in the front? Otherwise, I wonder how many today would come forward and say, God, I want to be a rescuer, God, this coming year. Come on, church. I'm not going to beg you. Come on. Let's make some renewed commitments. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes. Forever, author of salvation.
Heroes and conquerors.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.